This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time now for our Africa update. This week, post-war Sierra Leone has a new president. Torrential rains and floods wreak havoc on the continent, and Darfur is back in the news. Now, she usually joins us from a location in Africa, but NPR's Afebia Quist Arkton is here in the U.S. this week at NPR headquarters in Washington. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. After not a bad journey from Dakar.
Want to move on to Sierra Leone. It has achieved a milestone, organizing a runoff post-war presidential election, swearing in a new leader.
I, Ernest Bai Koroma,
do hereby,
in the name of God,
swear.
Well, there you are. Sierra Leone has a new president, Ernest Bai Koroma. He was the opposition leader, and then he came first in the first round in August, and now he has trounced the governing SLPP party. But I have to say, Farai, that the campaign was marred by violence. Although the election commission said that ballot stuffing and some election rigging and fraud would not have changed the results, although the governing party did put in a court challenge and wanted counting to be stopped. But Ernest Bai Koroma is now the new president. Listen to how Sierra Leone's chief electoral commissioner, Dr. Christiana Thorpe, at a news conference in Freetown yesterday.
I hereby certify that 950,407 valid votes were cast in favor of the candidate Ernest Bai Koroma at that election. Ernest Bai Koroma has been duly elected president of the Republic.
What are the challenges and priorities that lie ahead for Sierra Leone's new president?
Huge challenges, daunting challenges, but especially reuniting the country, because this was, in the end, quite a divisive election. And it's the first that Sierra Leone has held by itself since the end of the war, because the United Nations organized the first polls. And apart from that, they're going to have to shake off a legacy of war and rebellion and coups, poverty. They're going to have to shake off an image of Sierra Leone being much too corrupt, although it had the goodwill of the whole world after the war, that not enough has been done. People want basic things. They want light, they want running water, they want education, and they want peace.
So there was a huge rain shower in Freetown, Sierra Leone, during the swearing-in, but it didn't seem to dampen spirits. However, it seems as if much of Africa is underwater. What's going on?
A huge band of the continent, all the way from Mauritania through to Ethiopia in the east and the Horn, has been absolutely inundated. The rains have been so heavy, it has killed people and it has ruined livestock and crops and farmland. Listen to the United Nations, a spokeswoman from the United Nations, Elizabeth Beers.
We have so many concerns because of waterborne disease, because of the food situation. Floods exacerbate the living condition of those communities already hit by high rates of malnutrition. And these people don't have access to food.
So which countries have been hit the hardest?
Well, in East Africa, you've got Uganda and especially Ethiopia with loss of life. About 100 people plus throughout the continent have died in these floods. Rwanda has also been hard hit. And West Africa especially is the region that has suffered the most. 12 West African countries, all the way from Mauritania to Nigeria. But it appears that Ghana has been hit hardest, especially the north, which has been declared a disaster zone by the government. And listen to how Benonita Bismarck from Ghana's Red Cross has described the scene in the north.
The situation is dire. We have close to 400,000 people displaced, and most of the buildings that have been affected are made of mud. Because of the continuous torrential rains, a lot of the buildings have just collapsed.
So you see how serious the situation is in northern Ghana. The coordinator of the country's National Disaster Management Organization, George Aziamu, added his concerns.
The recent flood disaster have destroyed extensively farmlands, livestock, infrastructure like bridges, roads. Some villages and communities have now been totally wiped off from the map of Ghana.
in the future, in the very near future, all over the continent, there may be an issue of food security because it's the planting season for some farmers in some parts of the continent. And of course, they're not able to plant. So there will be a knock-on effect from these floods and torrential rains.
Let's head back to the Horn of Africa and talk about Darfur again. It's been back in the news in many different ways. Bring us up to date, Afebia.
Well, a lot's happening. The Elders, which is a new group set up by Nelson Mandela, and it includes the South African apartheid stalwart Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the former US President Jimmy Carter, they're going on a fact-finding mission to Darfur. And the Chinese have been demonstrating how their peacekeepers are training ahead of the deployment of UN and African Union peacekeepers to Darfur. But the Chinese ambassador to South Africa has been countering criticism that China has done too much to support the Sudanese government, which is accused of most of the atrocities in Darfur. Listen to Liu Guinqin.
It's simply not right to criticize China and ask China to shoulder all the responsibility of some killing in Sudan simply because we have oil explorations there.
The Chinese ambassador, he said that he wanted to dispel the image of China devouring Africa's natural resources, said it's rather the US and Europe who are responsible for a majority of Africa's oil and gas imports.
The Western countries and Western oil companies have for years carried out oil exploration in the most oil-rich regions in the world. In other words, you have eaten all the meat and only left us with some soup, which is in the most difficult regions of the world. And simply because we sip a little bit of the soup and we are severely condemned, do you really think that is fair?
So what about these 20,000 peacekeepers that Darfur is waiting for? What's the latest?
Including the Chinese, of course. Well, they're meant to begin deployment from next month. But the head of the joint peacekeeping mission, Nigerian General Martin Luther Agwai, says, you know, the world needs to be patient and too much high expectation is not going to help this new force. Have a listen.
I'm worried because of high expectation. People will expect us by tomorrow to do something without knowing that on the ground with not much has changed. And I can't see anything changing much even up to the end of this year.
You know, and General Agwai is saying, although this is going to be the biggest joint peacekeeping operation in the world and it'll have a big mandate, it is not there to pick a quarrel with anyone.
We are not here to conquer anybody. We are not here to compel any peace. We are here to work with the Sudanese people, both the government and the parties, to assist them to find peace.
So, Farai, that's what lies ahead for Darfur and the peacekeeping unit. You heard it from the horse's mouth.
Well, thanks, Afebia.
Always a pleasure.
NPR Africa correspondent Afebia Quist-Arkton speaking with us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C.